You might like to turn in your Bible, if you would, over to Psalm 103 that you read a few moments ago. Perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, we thank you. Thank you very much for thy word, God, that you are able to give it the wonderment of your life, and that you are able to make it profitable to us, pleasing to you. And our God, we're looking to you to take it and honor yourself, Spirit of God, in Christ's name, amen. You read in Psalm 103, if I may go to verse 10. 103 and verse 10. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. He knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as the flower of the field, so he flourisheth. Now, keeping that in mind, God, like verse 10, he hath not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. If that were true, and he was not, if he was not in a holy, righteous God, he also, at the same moment, is merciful and gracious. And therefore, God, you don't deal with us exactly as we deserve, because then we'd be in trouble. You deal with us according to our relationship to you, how we look to you and trust you. Not based on what we are, where would we be as flesh, as the flower of the field. God, you deal with us. You know all this. You deal with us on the basis of our interacting and understanding your wonderful person. That's how you deal with us. Now, over to where we were. Not quite where we were, the Gospel of John. John in chapter 9 for a moment. The Gospel of John, chapter 9. And remember, we were studying the man born blind. And going directly, if I can, to verse 2. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. So God, everyone has a wonderful purpose that you create. Absolutely. Now, over to chapter 11, where we are. Chapter 11. And in verse 3. Remember, Lazarus is sick, is died, actually. Therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. And when Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. So God, you created us, and you created everything for wonderful fulfillment of purpose. Over to chapter 21. John chapter 21. If I may, looking at Peter after the resurrection, and in verse 18, Verily, verily, I say unto you, unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldst. In other words, you did what you wanted as you wanted. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee whither thou wouldst not. This is how Peter was going to die. This spake he, signifying by what death he should what? Glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, Follow me. So here we are looking, God, the blind man and the very sick, dying Lazarus. Here's Peter, and Peter's his speaking of his death, all of which, and more of which, has to do with God's wonderful purpose, glory. Now, remember we shared, took a moment, since it's relevant, in our personal life, very much so. The Old Testament word for glory, kavod, has to do with weight, something that's very heavy, weighty, something very wealthy, rich, a billionaire, something very worthy of value, rich, weight, worthy, wealthy, something of value, majestic, precious, something of such a nature that it makes such an impression that you can't ignore it. You can't walk away from it. It makes such an impression on us. The word is first used of Abraham and the word of his wealth. And his wealth, Abraham, God blessed Abraham so much with animals and all kinds of animals and wildlife and money, etc. And you couldn't, and Abraham was spread out like one of the big ranches out in Kansas or Texas. Everywhere you look, Abraham's cattle, Abraham's farm, Abraham's everything. Boy, is Abraham rich, big, glorious, the glory of Abraham. How could you look and see this all belongs to Abraham? Glory, that which makes an impression. Now, and so when you come to the New Testament, the word goes and the word is changed from the secular use, from a very subjective opinion about something, it goes to a very objective. So the word goes from personal, and the little word glory reaches out big time. Glory. That which shines bright like the sunshine. Visible, bright, splendor, brightness, radiation. God's wonderful, wonderful presence, his glory. Now, in the light of that, and remember now we shared God's glory is the sum and the substance of his intrinsic, his inner. God needs nothing, no one in any how, way, shape. He completely is glorious. All by himself. Nothing added, nothing ever needed. He is wonderfully, wonderfully glorious. And he is eternally wonderfully, wonderfully glorious. And not only is he eternally wonderfully, wonderfully glorious, he is eternally wonderfully glorious. He's perfect, which we don't know what that is. He's perfect in his person. We don't know how to handle that because we don't know what it is. We have no way to talk about it. Perfect. He's perfect. Now, that has to do with his glory. God is glorious because he's God now. And so here's God's glory. And God's glory is able to go and do, express itself. So anytime God expresses himself, anytime, anywhere God is, as we shared, any aspect of God, his power, his grace, his glory, his patience, his love, anything, his long-suffering, anything about God is everything about God. Any part of God involves all of God. And all of God, at any time, all the time, is glorious. He's God. He's wonderfully, wonderfully God at all times. And the glory of God requires God to enjoy it. How are you going to enjoy the glory of God without God? You can't. God enjoys being who He is. God enjoys being He. He's the only God and the only Savior. He has no one to talk to and no one like Him in any way, shape, or form. He's just all alone, God, in His wonderful perfection. He's glorious. He's just plain glorious. Now, whether He's glorious in His person, whether He does anything to reveal it. Remember now, He created angels to be able to say, He is glorious, holy, holy, holy. Thou, the Lord God, You are holy. You are glorious. Angels. And humans and creation, Psalm 19:1, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the earth showeth His handiwork, and His billions of galaxies, let alone stars. Wow. To show what? He's glorious. Boy, wow. And you'll never exhaust. No, there's no telescope. No telescope up there in space, we got one. And there's no telescope that we can come to grips with the immensity of creation, which is very small. All of those wonderful stars are very small in the light of God's person. Wow, is it big? No. In the light of God, it's small. Wow. Now, hang on to that, because everything you do, God, is for Your glory. And we need to understand that so that we, believers, can exercise that wonderful privilege, the wonderful privilege of knowing You. And after all, that's what it's all about, to know You, to honor You. God, you said the sickness is not unto death. God, You have wonderful rhyme and reason for it. That's correct. Over now to exercise it. Ephesians and chapter 1. And in Ephesians chapter 1, may I pick up, please, in verse 17. What we're going to look at is just over and over again. We're going to walk around glory. We're going to go inside glory. We're going to go under glory. We're going to go over glory. We're going to look at glory in all kinds of ways so that I can see glory. Glory. God, You're glorious. And this glory that God, You, very much do what You do in a most wonderful way. Just think of Sunday school. In the Sunday school, God, we have the right to choose. And when we come to know You as our Savior, You, a sovereign, absolute sovereign God, are able, God, there's no one. You're the boss of all bosses. God, when we come to You, we're able to, in our little puniness, to be able to say, my will, my right to say, choose. I choose Your will to be my will. And You've made it possible, God, for me, for believer, to say, Your will is my will. I choose it for Your glory and honor. Wow. Now, in the light of that, Ephesians 1:17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. So we're looking here, God, here you are, the Father of glory, and the knowledge of your wonderful, wonderful person. That's what it's all about. The spirit of wisdom in the knowledge of Him. So God, we're supposed to be able to, your glory is meant so that we would understand the worth, the weight, the wonder, wealth, the glory, the magnificence of who you are. That's right. I want you to be able to appreciate me. I want to show. It's my nature to show. It's my nature to show who I am, to be who I am. I must be who I am. I'm God. And therefore, I want it, you to know it, to enjoy it, to be, to know me. Aha, verse 18. That the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what the riches of the glory, the riches of the glory of His inheritance. And where is His inheritance? In the saints. God, what have you done? You have sent your Son, and you have placed us in Christ and Christ in us, so that you have, He has gained as it is, He's the head and we're the body, church is His body. So we have the wonderful, wonderful privilege of being for His glory. For His glory. Over, if you would, while you're here, so you catch that a little better. Verse 22. And He hath put all things under His feet, and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, the assembled body of believers, which is the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. He, God, so here we are, God, we're to be to the praise of the glory of your grace. Verse 12, that we should be to the praise of the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ. So God, what are we doing? We have a unique relationship to you, and all of it is to allow you, this relationship, for you to enjoy doing what you do, being who you are, in the believing heart. For you, God, to enjoy believing who you are in your heart, in the human heart. That's what I want. That's what I want to do. I want to enjoy being me, God, in your heart. So the sickness is not unto death. That you are going to die. You're going to die. The way you're going to die, Peter, you won't like it. It's a bad thing that's going to happen to you. But it's for my glory. For my glory. Wow. Remember, Peter denied way back in the beginning. And God's going to make him show himself in a most wonderful way in his death, in his horrible death. Wow. You're going to glorify me. And you're not going to back down. You're not going to back away. Wow. Now, so here, God, here we are looking, and we're to be, have a unique relationship to you as part of your body, the riches, the end of verse 18, the riches of the glory of His inheritance. And where is this found? In the believing believers, in the saints, in the believers, in the saints. And it's glory. God, you're going to have a wonderful, wonderful occasion to exercise your wonderful, wonderful presence. Now, in the light of that, God in Christ possesses the saint for His honor and for His glory. So, God, that's what we're to be. Over in verse 12, as we read, that we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ. And even going back further, verse 6, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted, highly favored in the Beloved. So God, we're to be in the glory of your grace, verse 6. Verse 12, the praise of your glory. In other words, God, you are something else. That's right. And where is that going to be seen? In the believing heart. And the believing heart is to discover this, to learn this, to enjoy this. So God, here we are going down the corridor of time, trying to work everything out. And God, you have a wonderful plan, and that we, the believing heart, is part of that. And it's made, it's the believing heart is saved, and you make possible that you can glorify yourself in that heart, in that believer. Wow. That's what you want to do. So God, everything you do in the believing heart especially is for your glory. So God, I want to be in the place then, not my will, like our Lord, not my will, but your will be done. God, thank you very much. That's what I want. I don't know how to do it. Don't know how to say it. I can never make it happen. But God, you can. You can. You can do it. Now, in the light of that, while you're still here, Ephesians 3. Ephesians chapter 3. And you would recall the prayer again, the second prayer, as it were, 3 and 16. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, which is endless, the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. So God, because based on who you are, your wonderful presence and person in Christ Jesus, that you're going to go and do a wonderful work in our heart, and that is going to be according to the riches of your glory. So God, your wonderful presence in all of its, Ephesians 1:23, in all of its fullness, we just read the church is full, back over in case you miss it, chapter 21, verse 23, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Verse 16, that we might in the inner man enjoy the fullness of God's wonderful person in every way, shape, or form, according to the inner man. Now, and in the light of that, verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, and that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, the height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. In other words, you aren't going to understand it all. It's way over our head, but not over our experience. We experience it, but we can't explain it. That person, we might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. God. Wow. Unto him be glory, where? In the church, which is his body, the fullness of him. So here we are sitting here on the Lord's day, looking to God, looking for God's word to work. We aren't trying to be ritualistic. We aren't trying to be religious. We aren't trying to just come and go and fulfill our religious duty. No, God, we're sitting here understanding as we gather together, you are going to be gloriously God, and you're going to do a wonderful thing in each life as we allow and look to you to let it happen. And you're going to outwork what? As we learn to wait, sixth Sunday school, as we learn to wait on you, and you're going to work it all out according to your goodwill. That's what I'm going to do. And it's all for my glory and all for my honor. Now, and in your hearts, it's going to take place in the assembly. So God, it's a wonderful thing you're going to do. That's right. Now, let me say it a different way. Over, if you would, to 1 Corinthians. And in 1 Corinthians, if I can, picking up, if I may, in chapter 1, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Now, remember the Jews and the Greeks, Gentiles, all they always want a sign, want something to verify what they would like on their terms. Verse 21, "For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, the Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, unto the Greeks or Gentiles it's foolishness." Now, having said that a little bit, verse 24, "Unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. And when you're all done, God, what are you trying to tell us?" Verse 29, "That no flesh should glory in my presence." So how, there's no way that we, made of the dust of the earth, we as the flower of the field that flourisheth, there's no way that we can go and glorify God, because we're temporal, fragile, faulty, failing. There's no way we can do any of it. We can't do it, God, in our flesh. It's against you. It's against you being. Just think of Romans chapter 1. We became vain in our imagination, thinking that we are like God. We can make images and everything like God. And we are not going to glorify God being God. We don't want you to be God. We want us to be God. We want us to be in control. We want us to be a little more valued, a little more important. We don't want to think of us as created creations for your honor and glory. We don't want to think of us as what we really are, dust, D-U-S-T. That is not a pleasant thought, and if you don't mind, God, we have developed evolution and 100 other different things to rationalize and avoid having to think about you. And when we do think about you, we recreate you as to Allah and Buddha and pantheism and Shintoism and all of it. We create gods so we don't have to deal with you. We don't want to have to deal with you, God, with God. So, no flesh, verse 29, shall glory in his presence, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. According as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. So God, it's all of you, it's not of us. And where you have done all of these wonderful things for us, so that when we read, you loved Lazarus. Lazarus is sick and dying. You're right, I love him. I have a wonderful plan for his life. The way I'm going to work it out is I'm going to be glorified in how he dies, when he dies. I'm going to be honored. It's all about, do you understand, it isn't about Lazarus. It's about me, said God. I'm the creator. Not the creation, the creator. It's about me. Now, having said that a little bit, over to chapter 3. And in chapter 3, picking up please, and in verse 18, "Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise." In other words, stay real, so you can stay right. Verse 19, "For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God, for it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Therefore, knowing we're dust, humanity, therefore let no man glory in men." Don't get all excited about humans being humans and humans' position, power, privilege, prestige, all of it. Don't get all excited. Do you understand? All things are yours. So we sit here, envy, jealousy, covetous. We're looking all around the world, trying to compete locally, with our friends and enemies and people and work and school and home. We're trying to compete in the world, politic, power, business. We're trying to do it. Busy, busy, busy. We're doing it. That's what we do. And then we try to compare ourselves and commend ourselves among ourselves. Now, God, why don't you want us to do that? Because it's silly. There is no glory. It's all false. A false glory. A false lifting up of yourself that can go nowhere. What can it do? The greatest people in all the world, kings, presidents, Caesars, Pharaohs, Washingtons, Lincolns, they all die. They're dust. And you're trusting that for glory. I want you to know, verse 21, all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas, Peter, or the world, or life, or death, or things present, or things to come, all are yours. And you are Christ, and Christ is God's. And all of it is for God's glory and honor. So do you understand? You're going to look to me and trust me. And as you look to me and trust me, I'm going to work it all out. And chapter 6, because the believing heart has a unique relationship to God that makes it have to, you've got to work it out. And I don't want to leave, you can't leave God out. You leave God out, you're not going to go anywhere. Chapter 6, verse 19, what know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? It's the dwelling place, the flesh and blood, the arms, ears, nose, eyes, throat, which is in your heart when you receive Christ as your Savior, which you have of God, and you are not your own. For you are bought with a price, and therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God. They belong to God. So therefore, glorify God. That's what you're going to do. So God, I understand, as a believer, we ought to be able to appropriate the wonderment of your person in the outworking. Is that what Mary and Martha, in chapter 11, are going to learn? They're going to learn about why Lazarus died, how he died, when he died. And God, you're going to use all of that to instruct them. Yeah, I'm going to help them. I'm not only going to help them, I'm going to help all of you. Because I'm going to try to help you understand about who I am. I am the resurrection and the life. Do you understand that? I am. Not they are. Lazarus isn't. I am. So all that I do is for my glory and for my honor. It's about that. My great name. That's what I do. So God, here we are trying to appropriate our will and way on planet Earth in coming and going, sickness and health, much and little. Here we are trying to do it disconnected from you. When we're supposed to be totally connected, totally involved in your wonderful purpose and plan. Wow. So God, verse 20, you are bought with a price, therefore glorify God and in your body and spirit which belong to God's. And not only that, chapter 10, and in chapter 10, you would recall, in this context, verse 31. Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Now, what do you think that means? Whatever you do, God be honored. God be honored. I honor you, honor yourself. Whether I eat, whether I drink, whether I go to work, change the diapers, whatever I do, honor yourself, God. Glorify yourself. You're a wonderful God. Honor yourself. No. So God, that's what you'd like. Yes, I would. And the Lord, remember now, in you don't have to go there, in the Gospel of John in chapter 1:14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, glory of the only begotten Son of God. God, here's Jesus Christ, full of glory. And you know, well, you aren't far away, we'll look at it. 2 Corinthians. Second Corinthians, if I can, chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And you will note in verse 6. Well, no, I'm going to read verse 4. In whom, the gospel is hidden, in whom the God of this world hath blinded, that's Satan, the minds of them which believe not, lest, so that our unbelief loses out. We're looking at the dust and not at the God who created us. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So we're going to look, God, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He's full of glory. That's right. When you receive Him as your Savior, verse 6, for Christ, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined where? In our hearts. To do what? To give the light, as opposed to darkness, light of the knowledge of what? Of the glory of God. The glory of God, where is it? In the face of Jesus Christ, the Word become flesh and dwelt among us. So God, you brought yourself in a most wonderful way into our person and presence. And that's an awesome thing. So that whatever we belong to you, whatever we do, eat or drink, we're to enjoy the outworking of it. It isn't just when we're in trouble. God, so now, over in your Bible, if you would, to the Gospel of John, since we mentioned it, the Gospel of John, chapter 13. John, chapter 13. And you will note, please, remember now, Christ is going to honor the Father's will. I'll do that so you have that in your front of you, in your brain. John chapter 8, verse 28. 8 and 28. Then said Jesus unto them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, you shall know that I am He, that I do nothing of myself, but as the Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And He that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please Him. So God, the Lord Jesus Christ, is going to honor the Father. The Lord Jesus Christ in the believing heart is going to honor God the Father. So John chapter 13, picking up in verse 31. Therefore, when upper room, therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified. Remember, Judas went out to betray him. Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. The Son of Man is going to be glorified, and God is glorified in the person of Jesus Christ. Verse 32, if God be glorified in Jesus Christ, God shall also glorify him in himself and shall straightway glorify him. God, you are going to find yourself in the person of Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ finds himself in the person of you. That's right. I'm in him and he's in me. Glory. We're God. 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 Wow. John chapter 14. Verse 13, and whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do. Now why are you going to do that? That the Father may be glorified in the Son in you. God is going to be glorified. God entered your life when you got saved, and God wants to glorify himself in your life now that you are saved. So now you're going to what? You're looking for God to be God in Christ, in you, to do what he does. And it isn't you, it isn't me, it's him. So I'm looking now, God, in the sickness and health, easy, hard work, home, school, I'm looking to you to glorify yourself because I'm bought with a price. Whatever I eat or drink or do, I'm to do it to your glory and honor. It's all about you. In me, in the believing heart. If you ask anything, verse 13, anything in my name, I will do it. That the Father may be glorified in the Son. Asking. God answers. We ask, God answers. Chapter 15, if I can. And again, in verse 8, upper room still. Herein is my Father glorified. How so? That you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. So God, we're to be asking, abiding, and it will be fruitful if we abide. The branches just stay attached to the trees, and the trees bring, and the branch has leaves and buds and flowers and fruit and whatever. The branch just stays attached. That's what you said. Verse 5, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, verse 4 and 5, then ask what you will and it will be done. God, we're going to abide, and without you, we can do nothing. So God, we're going to look to you, and you're going to outwork your wonderful will for our life. That's right. That's right. John chapter 17. Our Lord, verse 4, I have glorified thee on the earth and have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, Father, I'm going to be crucified and ascended to the right hand of God in my perfect resurrected body. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with your own self, your God, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. God the Father, God the Son, I want to have it all, I want it all restored to the wonderment of for its outworking in a most wonderful, wonderful way. Chapter 17, verse 10. All thine are mine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. So God, so I don't have to hunt for this. It's just something there. And either I'm going to honor and understand a little bit of why God is going to do what he does in my little old life, because he's God. And he's going to, what's he going to do? He has to glorify himself. So if I'm going to understand that, I got to practice it so that I enjoy it. So I don't have to think of Sunday school, waiting on the Lord and all of that. And here we are, God, we got to do it. And our working of it, that's what it's about. It's a very troubling, more troubling than ever world, to say the least. Everything is cuckoo. Is that all right? It's more than cuckoo. It's crazy. You wouldn't anyway. Now, so God, here we are, and in verse 22, and the glory which God, what are you going to ask the Father? The glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. So God, you have given I'm going to receive you as my Savior, Lord, because that's what you asked, that's what I said to do. When I receive you as my Savior, you're going to go and glorify God. Where? In me, in the believing heart. And as you glorify God in the believing, as you glorify God in the believing heart, Lord, you're going to go and do so because the glory that you have given to us. But we don't have it in a package we can walk around with it. It's in your Son. The glory I have given them is my glory by way of my presence in their personal life. It isn't separate from you. There is no glory of God apart from God. It's God's wonderful presence. He's glorious. I've given it to them. Wow. 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 Now, and God, you've given it to them. And in the process, verse 24, Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold what? My glory. God, so what are we waiting for? God, you're looking, you're actually longing. God's actually anticipating your presence. How's that? You know how you could appreciate someone's coming? God is anticipating your presence. He's waiting. He's longing, looking for you if you're saved. Wow. God, and you do that. And why? so you could see my glory. So you could see. And so that we would see what we failed to see here. We could have, we should have, but we didn't. We didn't, like we should have and could have. Now, in the light of that, in the light of that, so now we have what? Well, we have God's wonderful, wonderful working in this wonderful, wonderful power. And God, you're going to go and you're going to exercise your wonderful person. That is, you're going to glorify yourself, who you are. I am that I am. That's what I'm going to do. A, my person. I am. So we always honor your presence. I am that I am. Uh-huh. And your presence, where are you? Wherever you are, God is glorious, and you're right here. And when we receive you as our Savior, you're right there in our heart. Wow. And, God, you have a wonderful purpose. What is the purpose, God, when you receive you as your Savior? It's to glorify myself. Not to glorify you or me, us, but to glorify God. To be able to glorify God. Wow. And you have a wonderful program. Uh-huh, I do. That's when I'm out working. I have a wonderful purpose to glorify myself. And I'm going to work my program out. That's what I'm doing. And by the way, I have all the power in forever to do it. So I'm going to do what I'm going to do, the way I'm going to do it, when I'm going to do it. And I want you to be able to go and line up and be able to say, amen. That's what I want. I want you to be able to, amen, my wonderful purpose and plan. I am glorious. I want to show my glory and honor. So in the thick and thin of it, over in closing, if you would, over to Romans. This is a huge, wonderful subject. All we're doing is dancing around, going around it. Romans chapter 5. And you will notice, please, may I go directly down to verse 2. By whom we also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope, in the wonderful anticipation, expectation of what? Of the glory of God. I want you to be where I am. I want you to see my glory. And in doing so, you're going to have all, again, the verse 3, but we glory in tribulations, also knowing that tribulation worketh patience, patience experience hope, hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. And so, God, we're going through all the thick and thin of it. That's right. To understand, you have a wonderful God and a wonderful Savior, the only one there is. And he wants to honor himself. So what are we supposed to find out? I'm supposed to be learning of you, God. When it hurts, when it doesn't hurt. When it's easy, when it's very hard. When there's much, when there's little. I want to learn. I want to learn, God, to be content, no matter what, with your wonderful person. You are glorious, and you are going to be glorious in the middle of the night, in the middle of next week, in the middle of next month, if you tarry, you're glorious. So God, Romans 8 in closing, 8, if I may, in the light of John 11. 8, picking up verse 18. For I reckon, calculate, compute, that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with what? The glory which shall be revealed. What's the next two words? In us. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Do you understand? He said, you have no idea who you are now and who I am. But it's a glorious relationship that you're going to work out. All of it for my honor and glory. So in the most horrible of everything is God's glory to be found. Our Father and God, we look to you to deal with our heads and hearts and help us a little bit to understand, God, as you outwork each and everything. God, do it. Do it because you and you said to do it, you must do it. Honor yourself in and among it. May we be found a remnant of people, believers, that want to discover the wonderment of your person, of your plan and purpose, of your power and grace. God, do the work in our heart and head. God, so that we aren't going to get dragged down by anything or anyone, anywhere, anyhow. God, thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen. Perhaps we can sing. Stanza, please.